You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The vault is open. I'm Pete McCarthy. It's one of the greatest Game 7s in World Series history. Maybe the greatest. Yankees-Pirates, the 1960 World Series. In this edition of The Vault, you'll hear a recap of everything that Bill did to the dramatic ending and the bottom of the eighth on in its entirety. Following the game, stay tuned to hear from the hero of the most dramatic finish in World Series history. First, a backstory. Entering the 1960 World Series, the Yankees were a juggernaut. Those star teams of the 1950s still largely intact, with Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, and Whitey Ford all still in the fold. The mighty Pinstripers had won 8 of the previous 13 World Series and entered winners in 15 straight regular season games. The Pirates, well, they didn't quite have the history of the Yankees. Prior to their appearance in 1960, they hadn't been to the series since 1927, a span of 33 years. That season, they lost to the famous Murderers Row Yankees. The Pirates' last World Series championship had come 2 years prior to that. The series was widely expected to be a formality for the Yankees, and it was anything but. The Pirates and Yankees split the first six, though the stats hardly appeared even. New York outscored Pittsburgh 46-17 and out-hit them 78-49, yet the Pirates were still in it. Pittsburgh actually had a 3-2 series lead, but Whitey Ford tossed a complete game shutout in Game 6, leading the way for a 12-0 Yankee victory and a Game 7. With more fans huddling outside Forbes Field than could fit inside it, we go to Pittsburgh to set things up. Jim Woods and Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Prince set the lineups and scene.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Ford Field in Pittsburgh in the biggest ball game ever played in the history of this city. Game 7 of the 1960 World Series. The Pittsburgh Pirates against the New York Yankees. And I don't know what you're doing right now. There's 36,000 or better packed into this old ball, Archer, and you know how their hearts are beating. This is going to be quite a day. And we're just a moment or so away from game time, so quickly, here are the starting lineups. For the visiting Yankees this afternoon, leading off, playing at second base, Bobby Richardson. At shortstop, Tony Kubek. The right fielder batting third is Roger Maris. And in center field, batting out of the cleanup spot, the great Mickey Mantle. Playing in left field today, Lawrence Peter Vera. At first base will be Bill Scourin. The catcher for the Yankees this afternoon, John Blanchard. The third baseman is the good glove Creek Boyer. And the pitcher, bullet Bob Turley, who has already won one game in the series. His record on the 60 season, 9 wins and 3 defeats. Now for Pittsburgh. Leading off, playing center field, Billy Burton. The shortstop, Richard Morrow Gross. The left fielder, and Danny Murtaugh is happy to have him back starting again, Bob Skinner. At first base today, and a mild surprise, will be Rocky Nelson. In right field, the great Roberto Clemente. Catching, Smokey Burgess. The third baseman is the guy that has been the inspirational leader of this ball club all year long, Don Hoke. At second base, Bill Mazeroski. And on the mound, Vernon Law. He is 2-0 in the series, and he was 20-9 on the year. We are ready to go, my friends, and it's time for me to proudly turn this microphone over to a man who has labored and loved and lost through all the lean years here in Pittsburgh with the Ricky Dick Pirates and the other things that have gone on. And what his thoughts might be today as this ball club stands on the threshold of winning it all for the city of Pittsburgh. I'm speaking, of course, the longtime voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Bob Prince.
Thank you very much, Possum, Jim Woods, and hello again, everybody. Well, it's all set. They're getting ready to go in Game 7.
One thing, Bob, the New York press was gathered around Vernon Law before the game, and of course, the main question about the ankle. The Deacon, who is as honest as the day is long, said it hurts. It hurts to walk on it, but you'd have to tie me up not to let me start this ball game.
Well, that's exactly right, and he injured that as we're getting ready to go in a little scuffle on the plane in exuberation coming out of Milwaukee when one of the Pirate players tried to grab him and pull him out of the seat and douse him with some water, and he held on tightly and accidentally twisted that ankle. And if Bob bothering him a little bit, but he's in there nonetheless and ready to go.
I'm a little surprised that Charlie's starting myself. He only won 9 games through the year. He had his physical problems. I think would like to get him early.
And that's exactly what Pittsburgh would do, striking against Turley and the Yankees in the first inning behind the bat of Rocky Nelson.
One ball, one strike, no score in the bottom half of the first inning in this seventh and final game of the 1960 World Series. Turley checks his runner, Bob Skinner. Another check over at first base, and now to pitch to Nelson. One on, and there goes the long drive. It's deep in the right field. It's going right down the right field line. Going back is Roger Maris. You can kiss it goodbye. Rocky Nelson unloads one on Bob Turley, and the Buccos jump in front 2-0.
For the first home run they have hit in this World Series. And I didn't think that ball was going to carry, Bob.
I didn't either. And another thing that was bothering me, Boston, it was hugging that doggone line. I didn't think it was going to get out of here if it didn't pass.
Turley wasn't long for the game, allowing a leadoff single in the second and immediately being replaced by Bill Stafford. Stafford was able to induce a 1-2-3 double play out of the pitcher Law to ease a bases-loaded, nobody-out situation, but the rally was hardly finished.
Well, Billy Burton stands in, runners at second and third with two down. Again, Stafford ready to go.
Meanwhile, on the Pittsburgh mound, Vern Law pitched well despite the injury, allowing only 2 hits through the first 4 innings. In the fifth, he surrendered a blast to Bill Mouskouren, and after allowing the first 2 batters to reach in the sixth, Law was pulled for forkballer Elroy Face. Face retired Roger Maris, but things deteriorated quickly against a pair of future Hall of Famers.
In the meantime, Mickey Mantle would fly to center. Richardson as Tony Kubek hauls his way to third. So the Yankees are on the board and still stinging, and the Buccos lead now by a score of 4-2. Mantle ripping one down the left side, just getting by Hoke and Groth. And so Richardson comes in to score to make it 4-2. Tony Kubek has gone to third, and now here comes Lawrence Peter Barra, Yogi Barra. First and third occupied, one out in the Yankees.
Affording the Yankees bats times to make that comeback was Bobby Shantz. The 5'6" lefty entered to start the third and allowed only 1 hit and 1 walk in his first 5 fantastic frames. In the seventh inning, it was Bill Mazeroski up with 1 out and the potential tying run at first base.
Shantz, his secret of this ballgame so far is to stay well out ahead of the Pittsburgh hitters. Practically nothing. Joe Christopher, the pinch runner, running for Smokey Burgess, dances off first base. Here's the pitch to Mazeroski, a line drive, stab by Richardson, throw to first, double play, and the Pirates are out of the inning. Christopher was breaking, and a line drive almost ran. Bobby Richardson, and Christopher doubled off first base. Christopher doubled off first base by 3 steps. No runs, 1 hit, no errors, and nobody left. We are through 7 innings at Forbes Field.
Well, old Maz would get himself another shot, as you'll hear, but we'll get to that in a bit. In the eighth inning, the Yankees adding insurance.
Well, here's Blanchard stepping in now. 2 men on, 2 men out. All this trouble started with 2 outs. Blanchard entry to the ballgame has been handled well by both Vernon Law and Elroy Bates. He's 0 for 3. And here's the first pitch to Blanchard. Line into the hole, out toward right center field. Clemente coming over, trying to cut it off. Here is Sarah around third. He's coming out into score, and on into third base goes Bill Starin, and the Yankees now lead 6 to 4. Here's the pitch to Boyer. Line down the left field line. It is a fair ball down into the corner. Being pursued by Skinner.
The boos raining down at Forbes Field, the Pirates trailing 7-4 heading into the bottom of the eighth, and time for me to step aside. Here's the remainder of the game, uninterrupted.
Now, and see what we can do. We're down 3 points, as we used to say in the old trade. And we got Gino Cimoli, the happy young man from San Francisco, stepping in. Look for the area, Cimoli. Looking over Shantz, who's been on since the second inning. And what a magnificent job to give due credit where credit is due. This little left-hander done today. Cimoli fouls off the first pitch off on the first pitch side for a strike. Nothing and one to go. Burton and then Groats. The Pirates down by three with only 6 outs standing between them and defeat in the seventh game of the 1960 World Series. Here's the pitch to Gino, and it's high for a ball. One and one to count. Activity out in the Pirate bullpen, and one of the big starters warming up who's not had too much success in the series, Bob Pratt, is starting to lose. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Cimoli. Lines half position on the right field for a base hit. And that brings the fourth field base to the lefty. And Cimoli starts it off with a base hit to right. And the batter will be Bill Burton. Nobody out. Pittsburgh down by three. A base hit back in the second inning. Dan Canfield talking it up behind Bobby Shantz. And the pitch to the coil is a little bit high for a ball. 1-0 to count.
We get a break, Pastor. We'll possibly be able to tell a story about how the Buccos won a very big game in the series involving Burton, who's the batter now, and Groats is on deck on this signal.
Yeah, Groats have been, as you would say, close to 2 bucks in a rug, because they've been on base practically all their Pirate careers, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have, and that was a very big game. This game wouldn't even be played if not for the fact they missed the signal.
All right, Shantz is ready, and here's the pitch to Burton. There's a high topic ball down to Tony Kubek. Hits it. The ball is down, and goes Kubek, and everybody's going to be safe. And Kubek is down. Bob, I can break you with that ball.
I got the feeling that got him in the throat the way he grabbed himself. It looked to me like he backed up just a fraction to let that ball play across him. I see the trainer for the Yankees world, but he said, "How should he come out, Marsh?" And looked to me like he got struck right in the throat with that ball.
Tony has a lot of success out there. Single it out. The entire Yankee ballclub gathered around Tony Kubek right now. The ball was hard hit, but it was a perfect double play ball. And again, Bob, your description of the Pittsburgh Pirate infield here. Comes into play.
It certainly does. Now I see Dr. Emmy Sherman, throw specialist, running out there on the field too to take a look at Tony Kubek. That ball struck him right in the throat, apparently. He is really riding on the ground. And even Gino Cimoli, who's now anchored across the second base, has gone over to see how Tony's getting along.
Doesn't look like he's going to stay in the ballgame. Gus wants him out of there, although he got hit in the throat. Well, how much he can tell Stango. Maybe they're going through that routine with him out there about what park is or what park he in, what day is it, and everything else.
And if they're trying to get that out of him, he's got stretched like we think he did right in the throat, he might not be able to say anything. He could have what they call a laryngeal spasm of some sort, which sometimes you and I get is a blessing in many ways.
Well, whatever that is, you know,
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know they're taking him off the field. Who's that coming in to replace him?
Jose Mastry, who's a reserve infielder and never plays a great deal for the Yankees.
Chance to throw the ball a couple of times, so he'll get his arm in shape. You recall that the sign, Grote accidentally took it off. So Burton set sail for first base, or rather second base, and Barra threw the member and they came to a perfect strike right over second, but nobody was there to get it. Burton went on into third, and he scored the run and won the ball game. That was a big one just because they missed the sign. Okay, well, I doubt very much if any Yankee or any Pirate looks into us in the milking room right now, because both those dugouts are jammed here with this situation developing. 7-4 New York, 2 men on from Pittsburgh, nobody out, and here goes the batter. Joe looks around, taking a long look down at Frank Ostiak, and the pitch to Richard Marlborough is over the outside corner for a strike, nothing and one. Tension going through Fort Field right now. You're going to know what's going on outside. And remember, the Thunders have always, all year long, been coming back. Every ball club they played in the National League kept looking over their shoulder saying, what are they going to do next? Oh, they're going to do it. They're going to do it right now. Dance is ready. Here's the pitch to Grote. Wide drive. Left field. Main pitch. And here comes Camoli around third. Don't play on him. He comes in to score. The fifth fire around.
Thank you.
play Smokey Burgess behind the plate. When Smokey singled, then they ran for him. Two on, two out. 7-5 New York, eighth inning. Here's the pitch to Comini. A high valley ball up to the right. It's Cowan. He's over, got it. Nobody to throw to. Most did not come to cover. He was 3 steps behind Comini. First score. Goes off the third. It's 7-6. Maybe that's why they call him crazy.
That may well be why they call him crazy. Oh, what a play that he did not make. He had all the time in the world to get over there. Bobby had a rainy day. It was bang, bang as it was. If he'd have gotten there in time, but he didn't do it.
The Pirates have come within one, the tying run at third, and Al Smith coming up for the first time in this ballgame. That's replacing Burton. Smith on the year hit 295, 11 home runs, and 45 runs batted in. He has seen very little action in this World Series. Tough, hard nose, and oh, how much is riding with him right now. Casey Stengel stays with Coates. Blanchard out talking to him. 7-6 New York. Here's Coates into the windup. The pitch and the ball outside. One ball, no strike. Oh, the tension here has built up to. What do you know, this seventh game would turn out to be something like this?
It has to figure to be nothing else but like this. And all I want to see Al Smith do is just get a little old. How about a broken bat single? Just any little old rinky dink to get it going.
Well, he just took a ball a little bit outside. One ball, one strike.
And the delivery is strike two called on the inside corner. And Coates, that might have been the hardest pitch he's thrown so far.
And he's got Al Smith down on the count 1-2, and Smith has not offered him anything yet. York leads off third. Clemente off first. That's all the speed you'd ever want in the lead run there at first base. The delivery to Smith is a little bit low. Two balls and two strikes. 2-2 on Al Smith. Both bullpen firing away. Rope down the line from third. Clemente off first. Coates into the windup. Here's the pitch. Hitless in two trips to the plate. Pittsburgh is against the Yankees. The lead this one 9-7. Here's Terry's pitch. In a high fly ball toward left, not deep. Vera moving off a little bit to his right, under it, makes the catch to retire the side. But the Pirates get 5 runs on 5 hits. No errors, nobody left. We go to the ninth inning, baby. The score is Pittsburgh 9 and New York 7. We go now to the top half of the ninth inning, and Danny Murtaugh has brought on one of his top winners, Bob Friend, who has been something a little bit less than a rating success so far in this series. But Friend right now facing the 3 biggest outs in his career, because that's all he needs to ensure the Pirates World Series victory. Robert, you're 3 outs away from golden glory. Turn it over to Robert Bartman Friend.
All right, and Bobby Richardson will be standing in. And this little guy that has set all kinds of World Series records is 1-for-4. Thus far on the afternoon, the Pirates leading by a score of 9-7. Coming from back, Steve coming away. We've had no further word, by the way, on Tony Kubek, except to say that they have sent him to the hospital with Dr. Henry Sherman to check on his throat. He was struck a very paralyzing blow in the throat, and we hope that Tony Kubek is all right.
We certainly do. He's a fine man personally.
Bobby Friend has the sign now from catcher Al Smith, who for the moment is the big hero in this ball game with a whacking big 3-run homer, as the Possum just described. Friend delivers. Richardson takes it low inside, ball one. Pirates leading by a score of 9-7. Top half of the ninth inning, 36,000 some odd screaming fans. 36,683 to be exact. Going absolutely wild. Pitch to Richardson. Spun on a line drive, base hit in the left field by Bobby Richardson. Going to bat for Joe DiMaestri.
The Yankees have gold Bob Friend in this series, Robert.
They certainly have. Bart hasn't been able to do anything against them so far. So now they got a man aboard and Dale Long, a left-hand batter. And if anybody doesn't remember what he did in baseball, then you weren't around. Because off a man by the name of Carl Erskine, on a one-ball, two-strike pitch, he hit a home run. And that was the home run that set an all-time world record. A home run in 8 consecutive ball games, and he received not one, not two, but 3 standing ovations. The fans here don't want to see that repeated. Pitch now down to Dale Long, falling for a strike for Friend. 9-7, the Pirates lead here in the top half of the ninth inning. Bobby Richardson on first base, nobody out with a base hit to left field. Friend checks his runner, comes to the plate, Long swings and hits a line drive into right field for the base hit. And Bobby Richardson has to hold at second base. Roberto Clemente comes up firing. But the Yankees have 2 on, and here comes Danny Murtaugh.
One more time, Murtaugh. Fans very unhappy right now. Friend, I think, knows that he's going to be gone. He's faced 2 men here in this inning, giving up 2 more base hits. And as good as Friend has been this year, it's got to be something that Bob Hart, and he's thinking right now, well, what has happened to me in this series? Why can't I have done it? But it's happened to the best of them. Bob Feller never won a World Series game either.
No, and Dick Bob, who has done such a great job for the Buccos. He's been out there every third or fourth game that they've handed him that ball. He's never missed a turn. But today, he sure wishes he could have missed this turn.
Who has he ever had a sore arm in his life, has he?
I don't believe he ever has. He's been a bulwark in his Pirate pitching staff and a heavy heart, no question about it, as he leaves them out. And Harvey Haddish now takes the long stretch coming in. And while Harvey's walking in, we'll pause for this message.
Haddish, 11-10 on the year. Well remembered for the perfect 12 in Milwaukee. He's already had one of the 5 pitching performances of this World Series. Now being brought on to try to stop the Yankee firehouse here in the top half of the ninth inning. 9 runs on, nobody out here, Bob.
You know, when you look at it, too, there's no such thing as a bullpen in this 7th game. They fired everybody. Law and Friend and Haddix, they're all starters. And the Yankees have done likewise with Turley and Shantz and Terry and Stafford and company. I guarantee you they're going out of tooth and nail. The Buccos on top by a score of 9-7. But now the Yankees have 2 on and none out here in the top half of the ninth inning. And Roger Maris, a very dangerous batter, standing in. Roger really ripped into one back in the 4th inning. Roberto and him described hauled it down after a running hard catch. And Elroy face cut him a foul out to Don Hook at 3rd. So now Roger Maris is 0-for-4. Look out for this guy. Haddix checks his runner out at 2nd base, delivers a fastball on the inside corner for a strike. Pirates leading by a score of 9-7 in the 7th game of the World Series.
up here and he's getting harder. Now come roaring back with five. Pitch comes down to Maris, up inside for the ball. Hugging way down the line. Rocky Nelson not holding on the runner way down the deep line. Now Haddix checks his runner out of second. Delivers, and there's a high twisted foul ball going up behind home plate. Al Smith going back, getting under. He's got it, and there's one away.
Little Bob and I run a free 7-year career compared to yours. This is my fourth World Series, but I do believe this is the craziest ball game of them all I've ever been in.
What else could be added to that one, Parson? As now stepping in is a guy that's going to be a switch hitter in this one, Mickey Mantle. He'll be batting right-handed in this one. And the Knicks thus far is 2-for-4. He is just pounding the cover off the ball. Fly to center in the second inning, single to right in the fourth. Beat out a chopper to short in the sixth. Lined out hard to Grove in the eighth. And now stands in here, batting right-handed against Harvey Haddix with two on and one out. The Bucks leading by a score of 9-7. Pitch from Haddix, low and inside for the ball. One ball and no strikes to Mickey Mantle.
36,000 people saying, oh, brother, right with you.
And I think they got their fingers crossed and everybody's trying to hang in there. Bucks leading by a fair, but the Yankees have the winning run at the plate of Mickey Mantle. He can play the long ball in a hurry with you. Pitch upstairs for a ball, 2-0. It started off, Bob Friend came in, Bobby Richardson got a solid base hit to left. Then Dale Long batting for Demetri, ripped one to right. So Friend had to leave, and Haddix is in, nails Maris on a pop foul to Hal Smith, and now Mickey Mantle is in there. Pitch from Haddix, spun on and drilled into right field by Mickey Mantle. And Bobby Richardson around third, he'll score. Dale Long going to third, he's in there. Mickey Mantle bangs the ball into right field, knocking in Bobby Richardson, and Dale Long goes all the way to third, and the Yankees have pulled within one. Holy Toledo Possum, what a ball game.
So many as they go so far to his right, he has no chance to show off the greatest throwing arm in baseball to take any kind of a shot at Dale Long. And the Pirates are right now in a peck of trouble.
And here's some interesting situations. Gil McDougal, whom we were talking about a little earlier, has now come in to run for Dale Long. You'd almost think in this spot that he would have been running for Long before this, but he's doing it now.
Well, Dingle does some funny things, I'll tell you. Years, I was with him. He has these punches. These things come to him at the last minute. He does these kind of things.
Okay, now it's a 9-8 ball game. There's only one out, and Yogi Berra is the batter. We got Mickey Mantle at first base, and Gil McDougal is at third with one away. The Buccos leading 9-8 in a riotous ball game. Pitch to Yogi Berra inside for the ball. Harvey Haddix is on the relief of Friend. It starts out with Vernon Long, then Elroy Face, then Bob Friend, and now Harvey Haddix for all the money marbles and shots. Again, the pitch to Berra. Up inside is ball two, 2-0. Leading off third is Gil McDougal. Off first base is Mickey Mantle. Haddix has his sign now from Hal Smith. Checks his runners. Here comes the pitch. Berra swings it. There's a hot smash down to first. Back into the Rocky Nelson. Steps on first. Slides back into first base, and the Yankees score the
tying
run. Holy Toledo, what a mismatch of a play.
I don't think we'll know when we get to the dressing room if and when this ball game ever gets over. 1-1 through the mind of Rocky Nelson. McDougal is racing toward the plate for the tying run. The double play was in front of him, and why Mantle did not break towards second with a pitch, I'll never know until we talk to Rocky Nelson. But the tying run is in, and the damage has been done. We're
Yogi Berra, backhanded beautifully by Rocky Nelson. All he had to do was throw the ball to second base to force Mantle, and the return throw is going to get Berra by a mile. He's not even out of the batter's box. But instead, Rocky stepped on first base. That took the first play off, and McDougal scored. And then, as Jim just said, we'll never know until we talk to them. Why did Mantle come back to first? But he did, as Rocky tried to tag him and didn't. And so we got a tie ball game, 9-9 with two away. That's unbelievable.
Tremendous reaction by Mantle. Haven't seen McDougal racing over the plate with the tying run.
shaking out there. Now Haddix has his sign and checks the runner first and Mickey Mantle. Score side 9-9. Here's the pitch. Cowan flanks it. The hot shot down to short. Pinchot is up with it. Over to second base. And the foul is behind. A hot ball down to shortstop Pinchot. Just sees it on to Mazeroski. And that retards the side, but not before the Yankees get out of that barn and into the pasture. They pick up two runs on three hits. No pirate errors physically. And one man left. And we go now to the bottom half of the ninth inning. New York Yankees 9 and the Pirates 9.
Well, Robert, last half of the ninth inning, I can imagine what pulse rate your heart is beating right now.
It is jumping right out of whatever little body I got left. I tell you that the Yankees have had to make a couple of moves here now. Gil MacDougall has gone into play third, and Cleet Boyer has moved from third to short. And Ralph Terry, the fifth Yankee pitcher, is on the mound. Terry came in the eighth inning and retired Don Hook in the fly ball to left, and he'll face Bill Mazeroski. And there's plenty of activity in the Pirates' bullpen for our pitcher, Hardy Haddix, who's due up next.
And you see who's coming up to this play. Big two in the contact circle.
Yes, sir. Big two is chewing his gum and waiting to get a shot at Ralph Terry. But first, we got to see what happens here with Bill Mazeroski. Billy beat out an infield single on a punt back in the second inning, which would help lead to a couple of big runs. Side and the bases were loaded, and then Burton unloaded to knock in a couple of runs, and that gave us a lot of hallelujah land, 4-0. But now the Yankees have come back, and here we are. So we're tied up 9-9. The first pitch from Terry, high inside ball onto Mazeroski. Looked for a moment there like Maz wanted to go after that pitch, possibly.
Might have been just a stifle, Ivor. I'll tell you, he flinched a little bit.
Yes, a bit of a flinch. All right. One ball, no strike, score tag. 9-9, bottom half of the line. Bill Mazeroski, Dick Stewart is on deck. Ralph Terry's in a windup. Here comes the big pass. Wait for this one. The long drive. It needs the left field. Going back to Jumpy there. Going back. You can't kiss it goodbye.
In case you ever need to know a little trivia, the clock above the left field scoreboard at the time of the home run read 337. That was made famous by a photo of the home run ball in flight. After the game, broadcasters Bob Prince and Jim Woods then headed downstairs to a champagne-soaked clubhouse in search of the hero of the day.
Here we are in a very tumultuous clubhouse. The Pittsburgh Pirates are the world champions of all of baseball. A year 1960 has to be about as great a year in the life of anybody. And Bill Mazeroski was the hero of the hour. Billy, there's no sense in saying it other than the fact you've got to be absolutely out of your mind.
Well, I feel great about this whole thing. I tell you, I didn't think anything like this would ever happen to me, but it's just great to win the ballgame and beat them. They're a great Yankee for a change.
Well, as in the midst of all this thing, as we're getting rich with champagne and everything else going here, I wanted to go back just one pitch. Did you almost go after the first pitch that Terry threw you instead of the second one?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a high ball hitter, and the first ball that he threw was up high, but it was a little too high, and they called it a ball, and I think it's time that the Blanchard went out and talked to Terry and tell him to get it down a little. Well, he got it down a little, but not far. Right where, you know, right in my power alley, and I got a hold of it.
When you hit it, Maz, did you have any idea that it was all the way gone, or did you just think it might be extra bases?
No, I had no idea that it was gone. I thought that it would be over the left fielder's head and hit the wall. I knew I hit it good enough to hit the wall, but I didn't think it was good enough to get over. So that's why I was running so hard. You know, usually you go into your home run trot, and I didn't do that, so I didn't know it was out until I got on second, and that's when I got all excited.
Did you think you would ever reach home plate alive with all these mad people pouring out onto the field and grabbing at every part of your uniform and everything else?
Well, I tell you, I got a little scratch on the back of my neck. I didn't get as much thought. I was so excited about winning that ball game and that thing going out that I never gave it much thought. I just started jumping, and I don't even think I saw third base or touched any of them. I think I floated them.
When do you think it'll all set in, Maz?
I don't know. I'll be able to probably, I don't know, maybe not even for a year or so, but I know one thing. I'm just glad we beat them Yankees.
Well, no one's going to set in with me when we get to the victory party at the Webster Hall, and that's where I'm headed for, baby.
Well, we both got to do it.
Well, there shouldn't be any trouble getting our way over there. Our this place outside is an absolute madhouse as it is in the locker room. Maz, one thing, of course, the big Yankee ball club, they scored all the big runs, made to get shut out by Whitey Ford and everything like that. I kind of thought one of the keys to the game was late in the contest when Stengel took out Bobby Shantz, and that brought in the right hand, and that gave Skinner a chance to bunt. You don't bunt in that situation with Bobby Shantz out on that mound.
That's right. Bobby Shantz is probably the best fielding pitcher in baseball. And I was glad to see Bobby Shantz get out of there because he's a tough one, left-handers and right-handers. He's a tough little pitcher, and he's a dirty little guy. And I was kind of glad to see him get out of there.
There's one last thought from me. This was a team effort. Everybody on this ball club contributed all through 1960 and certainly in this series. What's your thoughts on the courageous performance of a not healthy Vernon Law? He was tremendous.
Well, I'll tell you what, without Vernon, he pitched as well as anybody in this series. And of course, always faced a great job of coming in and relieving. And it's been, like you say, a team effort. And we had nobody really carried the ball club at any one time. It had to be a team effort throughout the whole year. And it was the same way throughout the series as we came through in the close games to St. Delroy and our pitching staff. It's a great thing just to say, you know, just great to be a part of this ball club.
Well, man, and laying it down before we get over all this stuff that's going on, and man, the Possum and I are drenched like you are, but you've got a uniform on. We're going to have to find to change our clothes. Let's just remember one thing. We beat the doggone New York Yankees, and we're the champions of the world. Let's get to the party.
We held him on that for a while.
Okay. Thank you, man. Hang in there. Thank you.
Mazeroski would go on to have a very good career, accumulating over 2,000 hits, earning 8 gold gloves, and winning another World Series with the Pirates in 1971 as a bench player. But his name would always be synonymous with the 1960 World Series, the only player in history to end a World Series Game 7 with a home run. Largely based on his accomplishment on that October afternoon, he was voted into the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 2001. As for the Yankees, well, they'd be fine, winning the next 2 World Series and appearing in the next 4. But this game was the final, managed as a Yankee by the great Casey Stengel. The old professor finished the Yankee portion of his managerial career with 1,851 wins in New York, 7 World Series championships, and 10 pennants in 12 seasons. You also heard of the injury to Tony Kubek. The Yankees shortstop was actually coughing up blood on the field after being hit in the throat with Verdin's chopper. Kubek would go to the hospital where he learned he had internal bleeding and a severely bruised vocal cord. Luckily for all of us, his voice recovered and he was elected into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster in 2009. Other interesting facts about Game 7, the Pirates scored 10 runs while leaving just one runner on base. Also, not one strikeout was recorded in the series' ultimate game. If there are any games, events, or players you'd like to hear more about, send me an email at pete.mccarthy@mlb.com. Thanks so much for listening. The vault is closed.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.